Good morning. Good morning, everyone. We want to welcome you to the Lighthouse. And if this is your first Sunday, we welcome you and we want you to be our guest, but make yourself at home. And if you come back a second time, then we say you're family. So if we didn't scare you away the first time, then you're just like us. This morning is Youth Sunday, so you'll notice we have some young people helping with different ministries. And for announcements, I have Miss Jaylen helping me out. So she will be telling us about our Target service this week.
We have Target service this Wednesday at the Carrie Kazubo at 7 p.m. Pastor Leah will be preaching a message, No More, No Less. Just Right will be service. We will serve walking tacos. Invite someone to come with you.
Also this week on Friday, we have mentoring moments for the men. So any men ages 16 and up, we invite you to come out Friday night at 7 p.m. to join Pastor Joe as he imparts some words of wisdom. I'm setting him up. Now he has to be wise on Friday. And Jaylen's going to tell us about the fundraiser we have on Saturday.
The Hancock Fair Gospel fundraiser is this Saturday from 7 to 9 p.m. here at church. Come listen to three singing groups. They will take an offering. Cookies will be served at the end.
Very good. And there's more information about the fundraiser back on the door, so if you want to check out that flyer. And then two other announcements we want to make you aware of. If you noticed, we have some different things going on in the parking lot. To keep our kids a little safer, we wanted to eliminate driving right through by the playground. So we're going to plant grass there, and the new entryway to the parking lot will just be right there by the cow fence. So we'll have everybody entering and exiting from that far drive area. And then if you want to drop off, you can still do that. So you just pull in and then turn left, turn right. Turn right when you pull in, and then you can come right by the door and drop people off. But how many know we want to keep our kids safe? We do not want any kind of accidents happening. So we felt like that, the board felt like that was the safest option for our children, just to have grass next to the playground so kids aren't running out in front of cars or anything like that. So it will take a little while to get used to, but I promise you in a few months, you'll all be perfect at it. It'll be no big deal. And then the last thing, just to let you know, our Hispanic church plant is underway. And so we have our first bilingual service scheduled for August. It's the first Sunday in August. Gloria a Dios. Can everyone say Gloria a Dios? All right, so we just wanted to start preparing you, because if you've never been to a bilingual service, it's a little bit different. So what will happen is Pastor Darius will be translating everything that is said. So maybe for announcements, we'll just say a little bit, and then it'll be translated to Spanish, and it'll go back and forth. So we ask for your patience, and most importantly, remember that people are being ministered to. And so we all are ministered to in English, and that's great, but some people don't know English, and they still need to know the gospel, amen? So once a month, the first Sunday of every month, we are going to have a bilingual service. We don't want you to not come, because it's bilingual, but we want you to come with love and with patience. We want you to be very welcoming and make sure you're shaking hands and being friendly. And if they don't understand your words, they still understand the spirit that is in you, right? So you can shake hands and say hello and say Jesus loves you, and they will understand. Okay, and at this time, we have Brother Don coming with a poem. And then after his poem, Brother Jesse will be coming with the morning scripture. Can we give Jaylen a hand for helping us out this morning? Thank you, Jaylen.
This was written by Johnny Cash. You may have heard it, you may not have, but I fell in love with it. It goes like this. I was walking through a country courthouse square, and on a park bench, an old man was sitting there. I said, "Your courthouse is kind of run down." He said, "Nah, it'll do for our little town." I said, "Your flagpole, it's leaning a bit, and that's a ragged old flag you got hanging on it." He said, "Have a seat," and I sat down. "Is this the first time you've been to our little town?" I said, "I think it is." He said, "Well, I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag. You see, it got a little hole there when Washington took it across the Delaware. Got powder burned the night that Francis Scott Key sat watching it, writing, 'Oh, say, can you see?' Got a rip in New Orleans with Packingham and Jackson pulling at its seams. And it almost fell at the Alamo alongside the Texas flag, but it waved on through. Got cut with a sword at Chancellorsville. Cut again at Shiloh Hill. There was Robert E. Lee and Beauregard and Bragg. The south wind blew hard on that ragged old flag. On Flanders Field in World War I, it got a big hit from a Bertha gun. Turned blood red in World War II. It hung limp and low by the time that was through. She went to Korea and then to Vietnam. She went where she was sent by her Uncle Sam. She waved on our ships on briny foam, but now they about quit waving back here at home. In her own good land, she's been abused, been burned, dishonored, denied, and refused. And the government for which she stands has been scandalized throughout the land. She's getting threadbare. She's wearing thin. But she's in good shape for the shape she's in because she's been through the fire before. And I believe she can take a whole lot more. So we raise her up every morning. We bring her down slow every night. We don't let her touch the ground, and we fold her upright. On second thought, I do like to brag, because I'm mighty proud of that ragged old flag.
Praise God for the men and women who have sacrificed to give us our freedom. Give us our freedom in this country. So I have some scripture that I want to share here. It's from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Starting in verse 15, it says this. He died for everyone, talking about Jesus, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. Verse 16 says this, so we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. And verse 17 says this, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. So I want to encourage you, Christ has put new life inside of you. If you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have new life inside of you. And I want to say this too, the brother or sister that God has put in your life that may rub you the wrong way every once in a while, maybe just enough friction to give you the growth that you need. Amen. So let's not view people from a human point of view, but from a godly point of view, and the gifts that God has put inside of them may be used to help you grow. You might not like it, but that's okay because God is using that person. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord, church. If you would stand with me, I would ask that you pray with me as we bring the tithes and offerings. Heavenly Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. God, I give you thanks for the work that you've done, for the work that you're doing, and what you're going to do. Oh God, I just pray that you bless these tithes and offerings and use them to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
While you're bringing your offering this morning, Brother Lucas is going to sing a special today. He went to Nationals and placed second. He's got a great, nice, powerful voice, and we appreciate the gift that God has in him. Hallelujah. Your light will terrify the dark. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I lean on you, Lord. I lean on you, Lord.
Faith, you're gonna see me through. You supply my every need. I lean on you.
Give up and let Jesus take over. Oh, give up and let Jesus take over. In you, Lord.
For the
restore. So they will kneel and understand and turn and trust in the Lord. Oh, I waited for the Lord on high. Yes, I waited and he heard my cry. Yes, I waited for the Lord. See a hand if you're waiting on something. Do you know that while you're waiting, God is in the works? What you can't see is happening all around you. When it looks like the storm is just gonna overwhelm you, God is in the works. As one preacher said, Jesus is in the boat. He's not worried. He's got it all under control. So if you're waiting this morning for an answer from the Lord, I want you to lift your hands with me. I want you to sing this to the Lord this morning. I'm waiting on you, Lord. I'm waiting on in faith, trusting that you got it all under control. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Waited for the Lord on high. I waited and he heard my cry. Oh, yes, I waited for the Lord on high. Yes, I waited and he heard my cry.
I'm being held by the Savior, yeah. And I felt fire from above, and I've been down to the river. I ain't the same, yeah. The prodigal return. Oh, my hope is in Jesus. Thank God that yesterday's gone, and all my sins are forgiven, and I've been washed by the blood, and I'm no stranger to the prison,
yeah.
And I've worn shackles and chains, but I've been freed and forgiven. I'm not going back, I'll never be the same. Oh, come on and sing. All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God that yesterday's gone, and all my sins are forgiven, and I've been washed by the blood. Oh, come on and sing. All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God that yesterday's gone, and all my sins are forgiven.
and I've been washed by the blood.
There's a kind of thing that just breaks a man.
Yeah.
Break him down to his knees. God, I've been broken more than a time or two. Oh, and he picked me up, and he showed me what it means to be a man. Come on and sing. All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God that yesterday's gone. And all my sins are forgiven. And I've been washed by the blood.
Oh, sing that out. All my hope.
And I've been washed by the blood.
Sister Tricia, come to the microphone, please.
I am pulling you into me. I am pulling you close. I say to you, my glory is in this place. Arise and praise me. Awake. Awake to my spirit. You are in a time. You are in a season where darkness is covering this earth. You need me. You need to walk with me. You may be in this world, but you are not of this world. You need to draw close to me. Draw close. I am near. I am here to bind your broken heart. I am here to wash you from all of your sin. Lay it down. Lay down your lives to me, and I will show you the way of everlasting life, says the Lord your God.
Good, oh, you are good.
tearing me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let. Oh no, you won't. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You are good.
Worship team can continue to play and just stay here for a moment. I believe that it's important that we understand what's taking place going on right now. As your pastor, I'm always adamant to make sure that there's clarity in the building and understanding in the building. And so we're a church that, if you're not aware of this, we believe that the 9 spiritual gifts that the Apostle Paul listed in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians are still active today. That they still take place in the body of Christ. You saw 2 of them take place this morning while we were in the midst of a worship service. The first one is the gift of a message of tongues, or the gift of tongues, which just means languages. And the second gift that has to work hand in hand with the first gift is the gift of the interpretation of that language. And so that's what you heard, and what we learned then 2 chapters later in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians is that when we have tongues and interpretation of tongues, it is the equivalency of prophecy. God is speaking a prophetic word to this church right now. Now, sometimes that can just be a word of knowledge, but most of the time, it's a word of wisdom. Prophetic word is a word of direction and a word of wisdom. It's directing the church to do something. Now, how many of you believe that the Holy Spirit is still speaking to the church? I want you to raise your hand. Okay? If we believe that, then shouldn't we respond when the Holy Spirit speaks to us? Now, I'm going to do something and I'm going to be very clear because I don't want, we're going to do two things. First of all, I'm going to give instruction, not reproof or rebuke, instruction. Everybody say instruction. Okay. The first instruction I'm giving is this, that when we have that happening in our midst, I'm so thankful for Sister Tasia and Sister Tricia being obedient to the Holy Spirit in their life. But when we have that in this building, this church is bigger than this building. We live stream. There's people watching right now. So you need to come to the microphone. That's why I wasn't trying to be disruptive, but I needed to make sure that the interpretation was heard by all, including online. But I even want you to come when you have a message in another language. Because if you're ever watching online, all of a sudden you just see this big pause, right? And you're like, what is happening at the church? Because there's a message in tongues. They need to hear that. Because that is evidential proof to the unbeliever. That's what the Bible says. Not just unbeliever in Jesus, but also some people who don't believe in the gifts. So that's why we need messages in tongues and the interpretation of it. So people can believe that, hey, the gifts are still active. So that's not a reproof or rebuke. Don't anybody think, well, he was yelling at those ladies. No. I'm giving instruction, clarity. Whenever you feel that, come to the microphone. We are open to the use of the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? The second form of instruction is this. When the Holy Spirit speaks to us and tells us to do something, we're supposed to do it. Now, I heard very clearly the Holy Spirit saying, praise me. Come and praise me. Come and praise me. So I want to challenge you as we sing this verse, this chorus again, as I throw up my hands. All I have is a hallelujah, but that's the best I can give you. Get out of your seat, because he said, come, move into this altar place and give him praise. Arise and shine, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is upon you. You may be focusing on the darkness, but he's telling you there's light in you that's breaking forth. Come on, yeah. Some of you are wanting to move forward. Come right now. Let's respond to what God is speaking to us this morning. Let's give him praise. Let's give him glory. And let's know that God's moving in those situations. We raised our hand and said, hey, we're waiting on God to move. We're waiting on God to move. And he responded to us and said, I'm moving. Arise, shine. Your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is upon us. Praise the Lord this morning. Praise.
Of your song, cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, oh, come on my soul, come on my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. You got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a except for a heart singing hallelujah. Cause you are my champion. Giants fall when you stand up. Every battle you won.
and I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the one who has conquered it all. It all.
So I throw up my hands.
So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king. Except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Come on, let him hear your voice this morning. Let's obey the Lord. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight for your feet so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Think about it. There are times where when we feel like we don't have the strength, yet God is giving us the strength. So we extend our hands even when they're heavy. The Bible doesn't say, praise me when you feel like it. The Bible doesn't say, praise me when you feel the Holy Ghost goosebumps. The Bible says, praise me. Praise me. At all times, give thanks. And in all things, give thanks. Praise me. And sometimes we have to lift up what we call a heavy hand, a drooping hand. And we shove that up there and say, God, it's been a long week. It's been a long day. It's been a frustrating moment. But regardless of how I feel, I know who you are. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I will shove up my hands. I will lift them up. And I will praise you, God. Listen, I told you a few weeks ago, there are some things I've been praying over this church. And one of them is I've been rebuking the spirit of heaviness. And the Bible says that the way you overcome a spirit of heaviness, something that tries to come on you and weigh you down, is you take that thing off. And you put on the garment of praise. You put on the garment of praise. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke the spirit of heaviness and we put on the garment of praise right now. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We worship you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord Jesus. You are good and your mercies endure forever. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again.
Hey,
all that I have is a hallelujah.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus,
hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king. Except for a heart singing hallelujah. praise you again and again. Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now with your own words, just give him praise. Come on, with your own words. If all you can say is, I love you, Jesus, just say it. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you honor. We lift you up, not just in this place. We lift you up in our lives, Lord, in our hearts, Lord. You are seated on the throne of our heart this morning, God. And you are our Lord, not just Savior. You're our Lord, and you direct our path. We thank you, Lord, that you're bringing healing right now to the lame, to the broken, to the bruised. You're bringing healing right now. For we have been holding to faith, been trusting in you, Lord. We will see it come to pass. We will see it come to pass. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now there's two more things we need to do before we're seated. Sister Peggy, I want you to get that prayer ready. And if you can get the microphone, Pastor Alicia, for her. And while she's doing that, Winter, I want you to come forward. Winter's getting ready to take off to South Africa. And we're going to lay hands on her and pray for her as her church family. Because she's going to go forth and do the work of Jesus Christ in the South African country. Johannesburg, is that where you're going? Johannesburg, which I believe is the capital there in South Africa. Come on. Those of you that want to pray for her, let's get together. Let's believe together.
Heavenly Father, right now we just come before you. And we're so thankful that Winter is answering the call to go into all the world of God. We just join our faith with her right now,
yes,
and we
Lord.
Send her. Lord, we thank you that you prepared the finances for her to get there. But God, even more so, you have prepared the way,
yes, Lord,
before her. And so, Father God, I just declare the anointing that is going to be upon her in this,
yes,
season.
Lord.
Dear God, I declare that it will not be in her wisdom. God, it will not be even in her personality, but it is going to be by the Spirit that she,
yes,
is
Lord,
walking, that she, please, is speaking, that she is ministering. And dear God, I declare that she is going to experience you even more than she ever has before. God, that you're going to come to these people and their lives are going to be forever, eternally changed, Father God.
Yes, Lord.
And so right now, we just thank you for,
yes,
the gifts,
Lord,
of the Spirit in operation through,
yes,
Winter in this season. God, we thank you for healings,
yes,
that are going,
Lord,
to take place. We thank you for salvations,
yes,
God, people,
Lord,
coming,
Jesus,
out of darkness into,
yes,
light.
Lord.
Father God, we thank you for people being encouraged, for financial blessings in people's lives,
yes,
dear God,
Lord,
that they're going to see that your kingdom is far better than the kingdom of this world. And dear God, that regardless of what's happening in their government, God, that you have provision.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
And Lord, we just pray for those who are with Winter,
yes,
that they will all be obedient to your Spirit, that they will
boldness,
be sensitive,
right,
to your Spirit,
boldness,
and
right,
that your Spirit is going to flow freely through,
yes,
them, Father God. God, I pray for their travels,
yes,
for favor as they're traveling, dear God. I pray for rest, even in their moments of travel, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
That they're going to rest in you and be encouraged, and Father God, be renewed in their strength. And God, I thank you for the testimonies that are coming from this situation.
Yes, Lord.
Holy Spirit, we release you now to even go before them.
Yes, Lord.
To prepare the hearts to receive your word. It is in the name of Jesus Christ we pray.
Yes, Lord.
And we give you all the glory and all the praise. We thank,
yes,
you, God, that you are faithful, and we just join our faith,
yes,
right,
Lord,
now.
Jesus.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now hang with us just right here, because we're going to say a prayer together. Sister Peggy's going to read this. It's a prayer, and we're going to use our faith with her as she reads this. This is for our nation. If you haven't noticed, you know, 4th of July is coming up on Tuesday. And so that's why we're talking about these things. This is a good reminder. Go ahead, Sister Peggy.
This is from Ruth Fanning, one of the ladies that attends Finishing Well with us. She's been such a blessing to our group also. And I appreciate her so much, and I'm sure all of us that attend that group does. And she gave us this paper, and I read it, and I just thought it was wonderful and just perfect for this 4th of July. Prayer for the United States of America. This is from George Washington. Almighty God, as we make our earnest prayer that thou will keep the United States in thy holy protection, that thou will incline the hearts of the citizens to cultivate a spirit of subordination and obedience to government, and finally, that thou wilt most graciously be pleased to dispose us all to do justice, to love mercy, and to demean ourselves with that charity, humility, and specific temper of mind which were the characteristics of the divine author of our blessed religion, and without a humble imitation of whose example in these things we can never hope to be a happy nation. Grant our supplication, we beseech thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And this other one, he's, in God we trust, the path we travel is narrow and long, beset with many dangers. Each day we might ask that Almighty God will set and keep his protecting hand over us so that we may pass on to those who come after us the heritage of a free people, secure in their God-given rights and in full control of a government dedicated to the preservation of those rights. Without God, there could be no American form of government, nor an American way of life. Thus the founding fathers saw it, and thus with God's help it will continue to be. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated if you wish to be. I'm so thankful that God is on the move. Amen. God is moving. God is touching. God is blessing. And it's important that we take note of that, church. It's important that we recognize what God's doing. And so that's why I like to pause and just encourage you. I like the word beseech. It's an old word, but, you know, we don't have a good word to replace it. The word beseech actually is connected to an encourager that attaches itself to someone to walk right beside them to help them not give up. That's what the word beseech means. And it is paralleled with the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us, who is our beseecher. He comes alongside of us and says, just keep on going. Come on, don't give up now. You've come too far to turn around now. Come on, God's still moving. I hear the Father speaking. I hear the Son's prayer. He's interceding. Don't give up now. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing, and He gives us His gifts so that we can do what we cannot do through the power of God. Amen? So I just want to encourage you to beseech one another, and that's what we did here at the end of worship. And I'm going to tell you, you know, it's important that if we come in and we're tired or weary, we've had a busy month or different things going on, that we press in. We press in. That's how the old timers used to say it that I grew up with. Let's press in. The heavens may feel like brass, but we're going to pray through, right? We're going to press in. We're going to pray through. That was that don't quit, don't give up mentality. And we still have it because it is the power of the Holy Spirit that works in us. Amen. And so I want to thank you for responding to what God said to do this morning. And I believe that you have received refreshment and encouragement from the Holy Spirit because you obeyed. And when we leave this place, I want you to know that by faith, you must now walk in that. And you're going to feel darkness. The Bible says that there's darkness on the face of the land, yea, gross darkness. But I want to remind you that at the beginning, There was darkness upon the face of the deep. And God said, everybody say, God said, let there be light. And there was light. Light is the manifestation of life. That's what John tells us in first chapter of John. And so when we learn those things, we realize then that you feel the darkness, even the gross darkness and the oppression of our generation, because God said, let there be light. And guess who showed up? We did. You are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. So you feel the darkness because you are the light in the midst of the darkness. Y'all better get this, or I'm going to have to preach two messages this morning. And when we show up on the scene, church, we're the shining light in the midst of darkness. We will feel the oppression. It's okay. The light always overtakes the darkness. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a good word this morning. And that's what God is speaking to us. And we need to get that. And so you step out of here and walk in faith. And I believe that the word that God gave me to minister to you goes right along with what the Holy Spirit is saying. But there's a few housekeeping things I need to do as your pastor. First of all, my lovely wife said that I was going to give you a word of wisdom on this Friday. Well, I'm going to do it early, okay? I'm going to give it to you right now. And here's the word of wisdom. Men, do not come to men's mentoring moments Friday, because that's not when it's scheduled. It's not even men's mentoring moments month. It's women's mentoring moments. And that is another week from Friday, right? So it's the second Friday this month, and the women, everybody say women, are coming together. Now, if you want to meet me, just call me and we'll go do something Friday and we'll talk. But that's not when it's scheduled, okay? So there's my word of wisdom for you. If you come, no one will be here. But we're excited about what everything God is doing, the ministries and the meetings and the things that we have. And we believe that God is moving this church forward. And one of those things that's very evident and clear for us to see, not only the manifestation of the presence of God we see in our services and people coming and receiving from God, but also just the upkeep, maintenance, and just the progress in our property, right? And so I'm so thankful that, you know, we finally got that squared off there on the end and we have some better parking. And just so you know, we're going to lay out for you probably with some type of stakes or poles and some signs and stuff of how we expect the parking and the rest of it. But we are waiting for everything to get cleared out first and done. So we're still going to finish a few things up, tidy everything up to help everybody park where they need to be parking. And then also, many of you aren't aware of this, but for years now, we would only get about 10 years out of our furnace and air handler units in the next building over, because when they designed it, the architects, engineers, they put the air handler unit up in the attic, and we would get a lot of condensation. It would just burn things out. So what we were able to do in the project, that this project is also just now finished, is we were able to drop it down into one of the old bathrooms. We're turning that bathroom into a storage room and a utility closet. And so now we're going to get a lot more longevity out of that unit. Praise God. It's done. We have air conditioning. We have heat. Yes. And so that's just another progress that we've made. And we're always working. And just so you know, because I know that you guys give to this church, we're always giving to missions. We're always giving to the work of the Lord. But even around here, we're trying to use the finances that God blesses us with wisely. And so I like to keep you guys up to date. And those are just a few housekeeping things I wanted to make you aware of this morning. Praise God. Isn't he good? Happy 4th of July. Celebrating what God has done and what God is doing. How many are glad that he's not done with this country? Amen. How do you know that, Pastor Joe? Because we're still here. I believe that if he was done, he'd get us out of here, right? So we're still here, and so God's still moving. All right, we're going to dismiss our students to go to their classes this morning. I know we have Firehouse Kids this morning, and we have our teen class, and so we dismiss you. We also have a primary class and a nursery for your younger ones, so please take them there. And we know, we love and appreciate our staff and volunteers. They work diligently, and it's great because, you know, it's not a babysitting thing. I want you to know that. It's not a babysitting thing that they do back there. It is ministry. And not only on Wednesdays, but also on Sundays, both, we're ministering to your students. They're learning things. They're learning about the Bible. And so it's much more than just us. Well, you know, we like it to be quiet in here while pastor's preaching, so let's just send all the kids out. No, 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 no. That's ministry for the kids. Can I get a big amen? Because truthfully, if it were up to me, I'd just leave us all together, and I don't mind when babies cry and kids make noise. That don't bother me at all. It just bothers you. I'm just picking on you this morning, being a little ornery. But no, we want to speak to those children at a level where they can grasp it. And how many know that when they get it at a young age, it stays with them for the rest of their life? Amen? And they won't turn from it. Even if they do, the Holy Ghost will come hunt them down and get them and pull them back into the fold. Amen? So we're grateful for our staff. Well, if you have your Bible with you, I want you to go to 2 Peter chapter 1. And if they can go ahead and throw that slide, the picture of the flag on there that I have, I want to open up this message and just give you some explanation of what I feel like God put upon my heart for this Sunday. We are in our 4th of July season and celebrating, and I think that we should. How many think that we should celebrate the formation of our country and all that God did? And if you have ever looked back through the history of how it came together, you know that God's hand was upon us, even after the beginning and different things that came at us as a young nation, things that shaped us. Even, I don't know if you've ever been up there, but several years ago now, it's actually been, me and my wife made a trip up and saw the memorial up at Put-in-Bay Bay, Captain Perry, and saw all of that and watched the video. And it was interesting to us because that was after, you know, we were formed and we were a country and the War 1812 is going on. And they said that, you know, these ships were coming. They were probably going to overtake our Navy there on Lake Erie. But suddenly the winds changed. And the ships of our enemies that were going to be able to overtake us, they had to fight, you know, the natural wind and things, and it held them up. And we ended up getting the victory when everyone thought we weren't going to get the victory. And it was funny because the way that the video that we were watching in the museum portrayed it, was like it was just some weird, odd happening. And we were like, yeah, that's God. That's God protecting a country that he was forming so that he could evangelize the world. Amen? And through America, the world has been evangelized. And I'm going to make a bold statement of faith to you right now. Through America, the world will continually be evangelized. Amen? We're not done. We're not done. Know that. We're not done. God is still working. God is still moving through us. And I believe that God is bringing us together in this hour like never before. But the word that God laid upon my heart for you today is independence. I didn't spell it wrong, although I do spell words wrong from time to time. Independence. And I want you to grasp this phrase before we go into Scripture. For us to have independence, which is what we have declared freedom from control, freedom from bondage, we must be in dependence. So for us to have independence, We must be in dependence. You say, well, how is that? Well, I'm going to show you through Scripture this morning with the help of the Holy Spirit that we must rely on God. That we cannot and we do not have the ability to do things in our own strength. And when we rely on God, we are in dependence of God. We are dependent upon Him. Then God gives us independence from everything that tries to bring us into bondage, strongholds in our life, things that come against us. Now, I believe that this is in direct connection with what I preached last week. And I know some of you thanked me for that word, and I appreciate that. And some of you maybe went home and said, man, I don't know if I'm going to go back to that church that pastor's mean. Because it was a hard word. But I am to the point now that I'm not settling for less. I'm not settling for less. God has given us many, many blessings. And because we do not understand the revelation of who Jesus Christ is for us, how He changes us, how we are brand new creations in Christ Jesus, because we don't understand that, we settle for less. And this morning I want you to realize that when we live and walk in dependency of Jesus Christ, then we finally find complete freedom. Now I want you to look at 2 Peter. We're going to start reading in chapter 1, verse 1. And I want to begin to just very quickly here. I don't plan on going very long, but you know how that is. Well intentions and all of that. But I'm going to give you what the Holy Spirit has given me. The Bible says this, Simon Peter, this means that it's written by the Apostle Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Now listen to this phrase, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ. Who is he writing this letter to? He's writing it to people who have found faith in God the Father and Jesus Christ. An equal standing of faith, meaning that we have all come to the same place where we all had to come and repent and turn around and turn away from who we used to be and become who God was calling us to be. An equal standing of faith. The Bible says that we have all been given the measure of faith. And so we take that equal standard of faith and we apply it to Jesus Christ. And in the midst of that, then faith begins to be strengthened over and over and over again as it is used over and over again. It's like this. The disciples ask Jesus for more faith. And I'm just going to give you the Joe Turner version, okay? Because it's quicker. He looked at him and said, you don't need more faith. You need to use the faith you already have. We say people get more muscle, but the truth is they use the muscle they already have. And as they work that muscle and it's broken down, then that muscle gets rebuilt and becomes stronger. It's not that they got more muscles, it's that they actually used the muscles they already had. And when we begin to use our faith, it works the same way. We have been given the measure of faith. And when we use that faith, yes, sometimes we're broken. Sometimes we feel like all hell is assailing us and coming at us. But that is the moment we get to use our faith, and that faith gets broken down and then gets built up when we see Jesus come through. And when we see Him come through, our faith gets stronger. And every trial you face, every problem that comes at you, every circumstance that tries to bring you down is an opportunity for your faith to get stronger. And that's how we need to start looking at issues in our life. We want to focus on the problem instead of the problem solver. His name's Jesus. So he's saying here, I'm talking to those people. This is who I'm talking to.
The very people who have said, I have been given faith and I am going to use that faith in Jesus. This is what he's saying here. This is who he's talking to. And I love this. It says, by the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ, that because you use your faith in Jesus, now you have received righteousness. And it's not your righteousness, it's God's righteousness. And you have taken on his righteousness and become righteous only because of him. Let me stir up all the religious spirits for a minute here. Yeah, I'm being bold this morning because I'm sick and tired of God's people being sick and tired. You cannot pray enough prayers, read your Bible enough, fast long enough, abstain from this or that, do this or that to earn God's righteousness. Because that is your righteousness, and guess what the Bible says? It's filthy rags. What are you saying, Pastor Joe? I'm saying it's clothes, it's laundry, that's not even worth being washed anymore. It's filthy, it needs washed, but it's rags. And when you wash it, it's going to fall apart even more. Throw it out and take upon the righteousness of God, not your righteousness. It ain't you doing it, it's God doing it. That's what he's saying. So then he makes this statement in verse 2. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, this is what we do. We read the epistles, the letters that have been written to the church, whether it's by Apostle Paul or Apostle Peter or Apostle John, and we read the introduction like it's just an introduction. Like he's saying, hello, everybody. How are you? I have something to say to you. And we skip over verses 1 and verses 2. You know how much meat there is in verses 1 and verses 2. I already started laying out verse 1 to you, but check out verse 2. After he says, I'm talking to you people of like faith, equal faith, people who believe in Jesus, and I'm encouraging you that you are righteous because of Jesus Christ and God, not because of what you've done. Now I'm praying a prayer for you. May. He's asking, may, right? He's praying a prayer. May grace and peace be multiplied. Oh man, doesn't that sound pretty? That sounds so nice. May grace and peace be multiplied unto you. And that's how we take it, in one ear and out the other. That's a prayer. He's praying that by the faith you have in Jesus Christ, that faith is going to now multiply grace and peace in your life. The Apostle John wrote in his gospel, grace for grace, or grace upon grace. That when you receive the grace of God and you walk in the grace of God and you're doing it by faith, what do you get more of? You get more grace. Hallelujah. It just keeps adding to you more and more. It's multiplied. It's not just an addition of it. It's not like 1 + 1 = 2. It's 2 × 2. 4 × 4. It grows faster than what we even think it does. Because we're walking and living in faith and living in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So he's saying to you people who have like faith that I do, I'm praying that your grace, the grace of God that he has bestowed upon your life, and his peace will continually be multiplied in your life. Why? Because he knew that you were going to come up against some stuff. He knew that you were going to face some things. He was writing to a people of his generation that were being taken and thrown in prison and executed because they proclaimed their faith in Jesus. And so as he's addressing these people, he's telling them, listen, you have the same faith that I got. We have the same Jesus. Both of us do. And yes, you think I'm the Apostle Peter. Whoop-dee-doo. I do nothing without Jesus Christ. It is his righteousness in my life. And I pray for you that his grace and his peace be multiplied in your life. Why? Because I know that there's people hunting you down, trying to throw you in prison. I know that there's rulers that are trying to make laws that will stop you and shut you up. But I also know this, that if you keep your faith in Jesus Christ, that it will be multiplied grace unto you and multiplied peace unto you. And you could be in the midst of turmoil, midst of a storm, in the middle of everything that's chaotic, and you can still have peace. Why? Because God has multiplied it unto you. The world does not affect us because we are not of this world. Amen. That's what he's saying. You've been given more grace, not because you need your sins covered up over and over and over again. No, no. You've been given more grace to rise above your flesh and not walk in that sin anymore, but be set free from that thing. Hallelujah. Grace for grace. Yeah. Peace for peace. Yeah. When your peace tries to be attacked, that's when the God of peace will crush Satan. Where? Under our feet.
Amen.
Now, we think of it like this. The God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath his feet. And he's going to come down and he's going to crush Satan in my life. No, he has empowered you that with the righteousness and faith in Jesus Christ to rise up and know that he has given you the grace or the ability to do this and the peace to say, nope, not in my house. Amen. Not in my house.
Amen.
I'll soon crush Satan.
Yeah.
Because God is with me. His righteousness has restored me. His life is inside of me. And I refuse to let anything come against me and take away my peace.
Amen. Amen.
Not by our power, not by our might, but by the Spirit of God that lives inside of us. Now, you didn't know all that was in those first two verses, did you? But it's there. He's saying to us, well, how does this grace and peace become multiplied to us? As we grow in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, it's not just knowledge, because the Apostle Paul tells us this, that if we just gain knowledge, knowledge puffs us up. We think, whew, look at me. I can quote 57 chapters of the Bible now. I've almost finished Psalms 117, the shortest verse in the Bible. Almost got that one down, right? No, it's not about us. That's filthy rags, right? That's our righteousness. We're not gaining anything with that. What he's saying here is of the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Who is God? Who is Jesus? Well, God the Father and Jesus the Son are one and the same. They are God with the Holy Spirit, the triune God, the Trinity, the three aspects of God and who he is. But as we get to know who they are, this is what I love about it, then we get to realize that we don't have to know it all. I love this when people start trying to tell me, well, you use the word exegesis in Bible study, right? Can you exegete the passage of John 1:1 properly? And do you know the Greek translations of everything and all this? And I said, nope, I don't need to know it. Well, you are a minister of the gospel. You're a study of the word. How do you not know these things, and why do you think you don't need to know them? Because I got the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen.
And most of the time, the less I know, the better off I am.
Because
then I just get to use my faith.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. I think apologetics has its place. If you don't know what apologetics is, it's basically a form of spreading the gospel through an argumentative way of proving that the gospel is true. There are some people that need that. If you've ever watched the movie or read the book Case for Christ, can't remember the author's name of it right now, but that guy was a detective. He was very analytical. He looked at things through the lens of a detective. He did not believe that there was a God. He didn't believe that any of this stuff in the Bible was true until he himself began to break everything down like a detective would. He took the eyewitness accounts, like he would if he was investigating a crime in this world. And through that, which is basically a form of apologetics, he came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ because he realized that these are true eyewitness accounts, that they can't be refuted, that they're legit, and there was a Jesus. And if there was a Jesus and he died and then he rose again, like they're saying, then there must be something that I need, which is a Savior, and then he will set me free from my sin. So listen to me. I understand there's a place for apologetics, but I also know this, that when you don't have any apologetics, when you don't have all of the theories in the world, when you don't have an argument, you have the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you. And you can just demonstrate who God is through your life. And that is a greater witness than any argument you can ever give. Amen. Amen. So I don't need knowledge. I just need to know who God is. I know who God is. God is not this judge just waiting to strike people down. Oh, come on, Darius. You gonna mess up today? Because I'm just gonna smack you, boy. No, that's not God. God is merciful. He's long-suffering. What does that mean? He means in spite of ourselves and all the messing up we do, he keeps waiting on us to get it right.
Yes, he does.
That's amazing to me. I mean, don't say it out loud, but sister, how long do you put up with this guy?
All the time.
All the time, she says. All the time. And sometimes it gets old, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're like, can't you just get this right? I mean, 52 years you've been married. Does he still get everything right?
No,
he doesn't. And you put up, that's called long suffering. You've suffered for 52 years.
I know.
Now, I couldn't say that the other way, because he ain't suffered a moment. Because he's married up. And he'll tell you that. So why do you say all that? I'm trying to get your attention. This is what God does with us. We do it with our kids, don't we? Pick up your room. Pick up your room. Pick up your room. Okay, let me explain this to you. You have clothes laying on the floor. They cannot be on the floor. You have to pick them up, put them in the dirty clothes hamper. And then when I tell you to, take them to the laundry room so we can wash them. That's what it means to pick up your room. Right? We get frustrated. We get annoyed. You know that God is not like us? See, we sit there and we think that God is getting so frustrated with us because we have not picked our room up yet. And God's just waiting there patiently because he's not like us. Now, there will come a day where the grace period runs out. Then he will begin to enforce discipline for us to get it right. Not punishment, discipline. Why? He's pointing us to something to teach us something. That we need to know who he is. He is goodness. That's who he is. He is a just judge. So whenever he makes judgment, it's correct. You can try to argue with God. You can try to question him. But at the end of the day, you will come to the realization that he's right. And you're wrong. And I'm wrong. He is right. I know God in his power. I know he's a healer. I know he's a savior. I know he's a deliverer, but I also know he's an empowerer. Yeah. And we don't get stuck in this mode and stay here, but he makes us rise above ourselves and creates us to be something brand new that we could not be within ourselves.
Yeah.
Saying, what does he say? Do you know God? Do you know him? Because if you do, then guess what? Grace and peace will be multiplied in your life. I'm going to say this bold statement. Doesn't matter who tries to come against you, even if the United States of America tried to come down on you, they cannot take your peace from you if you know your God. That's, by the way, the greatest, strongest nation of the world. They can't steal it from you. Why? Because I know who my God is. And guess what? They can only deal with me in a temporary way.
Amen.
This is temporary.
Yeah.
So whatever you do to it, guess what? Jesus promised me I'm getting a new one.
Yeah.
It's temporary.
Yeah.
You attack my house. You come against my house. You try to take my house from me. It's temporary.
Yeah.
I'm getting a new one.
Amen.
I'm getting me a place in a mansion is what the Bible says. You say, well, I'm going to steal your home from you. You can't. My home is not here. It's in heaven.
Hallelujah.
I know my God. I know who He is. Well, I will take your life. You can't take my life, because if I lose this temporary life, I go and live forever.
Yes. Hallelujah.
I know who my God is.
Yes.
Do you know who your God is?
Yes.
Then realize that no one can take your peace from you. It will only be multiplied more. And every persecution, every trial you face, you just remind yourself who your God is and how great your reward is going to be. This is not my home. I'm just passing through. Nothing here matters. Burn it all. Take it all away. Even if you throw me in the pot with Job and I lose everything, I know this one thing, that peace will be multiplied to me, because this is not all I have. I have something so much greater.
Yeah.
A home in heaven.
Yeah.
That will give me eternal life.
Yeah.
That I will have a new body.
Yeah.
And I'm believing God for an afro in heaven. I love thick hair like that. I don't have any of it. Right? So I'm getting a new body. Now, when I get there, the Lord may say, Joe, that doesn't even matter. And I'll go, okay, that's fine, because I'm with you. But Lord, if you would like to grant that, then grant it. Give me an afro and a golden pick. Put it in there, man. Which is like, are you kidding me right now? Sometimes we got to change things up. So I'm going to refocus what I'm teaching. It's what I'm doing with you right now. So you can pay attention and understand. Well, what are you getting with all this, Pastor? Why do we need to know God? Why is this important? So that we can be in dependence of Him. See, grace is multiplied in my life and peace is multiplied in my life when I come to the realization that I am completely dependent upon God. There is nothing I can do in myself. Nothing. I mean, I can fight and fight and fight in this world to try to get to happen what I want. I can argue and argue and argue with Lisha, tell her what color we need to paint the walls, and she's still going to get her way. We can fuss and fight about all kinds of stuff. Maybe your work, your job place. You think that this is a better process. We need to implement this. It's going to make everybody's lives easier. And those big guys at corporate come down and say, nope, we're not doing that. And what does that do to our life? It brings frustration. If we're not careful, we will allow that frustration to overtake us. Next thing we know, we're talking about the bosses just like everybody else is. Next thing we know, we're running our mouth in arenas that we should not be running our mouth. And that was all because we were trying to do something on our own. We can't do it on our own. We must have Jesus.
Yeah.
I can do nothing without Jesus. I have to remind myself constantly when myself tries to rise up and say, you know, you're a pretty strong guy, Joe. You can handle things. And then something comes and hits me that I'm not ready and prepared for. And I feel, oh, I think this will crush me. I think this will kill me. And then I remind myself, nope, I have Jesus, not me. It's not Jesus plus anything, right, Brother Farler? It's Jesus plus nothing. Jesus. Him and Him alone. If we want to live in true freedom, then we must live with a dependency upon who Jesus Christ is. So he says here, verse 3, his divine power, who's his? Jesus Christ. He was just talking about Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things. Everyone say all things. That pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. Now grasp that. His divine power. What is his divine power? It is the power that the Holy Spirit possesses. And the Holy Spirit has came and lived inside of every believer. That's why Acts chapter 2 is so important. It was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That now when we receive salvation, we literally are born again or born of the Spirit, like we were preaching last week. And now we receive that Spirit. I believe it was Paul, but somewhere in the New Testament, it talks about the earnest of the Spirit or the down payment of the Spirit. It is the initial presence of God that comes and lives inside of us that transforms us from being a dead person to a living person. It's an amazing thing that happens. And when we receive this, there is a divine power that enables us to receive everything we have need of when it comes to not just godliness, but to life and godliness. And this is where we miss it. This is where we miss it, church. We think that we receive the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can receive godliness in our life. What does godliness mean? Well, to become like God, to be, take on his attributes, his nature, so that we are holy, that we live righteously, that there's justice in our life and these things. And so, and we think that, okay, that has allowed us to have love and joy and peace with God. But no. He says, for life and godliness. Life, period. Just to live life. We have been given a power. Now, this is where I wanted to get to this morning, and I may not even get to the rest of the verses that I have listed here, but you can go back and look at them. But listen, this is where we have come as the American church. I'm in America, so I'm preaching to the American church this morning. We think we're spiritual. We think we're spiritual. But really, we're soulish. We think we're moved by the Spirit. We're moved by our soul. They say, well, how do you know that, Pastor? Because I watch the church when it's in distress. I watch the church when it's in distress. And if we were moved by the Spirit, then distress wouldn't move us. Trials and problems, they wouldn't move us if we were living by the power of the Holy Spirit. If our life and everything that pertained to life was completely driven by the power, the divine power of the Holy Spirit, then those small circumstances wouldn't move us. But because we are so attached to our soul that everything that happens to us moves us around. What is the soul? The soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. Basically, it's the senses that God has given us. Now, we also have the physical body that gives us touch, taste, and smell, and hearing, and all those senses, okay? But those senses are the way that the physical body takes things in for the soul to process it. And I'm preaching to the charismatic, Pentecostal, full Bible believing, full gospel church this morning. We believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And we believe that God moves in our services. Got quiet, darling. Got real quiet. I'm going to ask you a question. Was that really the Spirit, or was that just your soul? You know, I've listened to secular songs that made me cry before. Was that an anointing? Or was that just something that touched my soul? I've heard great speeches before that moved me. Was that an anointing that came from that speech? Or did they just connect with my mind, my will, and my emotions? Oh, but we're spiritual, Pastor. Yeah? I'm messing with everybody's theology this morning because I'm telling you, I'm sick and tired of God's church being sick and tired. Why are they sick and tired? Because they're driven by their soul. Not led by the Spirit. Yeah. If grace and peace are multiplied to our life, then why does a traffic jam disturb us? If I'm living in the grace of God and the peace of God, then why am I so bothered that Kroger has 5 checkout lines and only one's open and they're trying to force me to go through the self-checkout line? And I say this because I just had this happen to me. I'm in line with my wife, and just so you know, I don't grocery shop. My wife grocery shops. I walk behind and follow. And I was in line with her, and I had my little buggy because I had did the stuff that she told me to do, and I filled up the water jugs for my coffee pot and everything like that. And this lady comes up behind me, well-meaning lady, very nice lady. Do not think negative of her because of what I'm about to tell you, okay? And she strikes up a conversation with me and tells me, isn't this amazing that they have all of these lines and only one's open to check us out? It's because they want us to go through those self-checkout lines. That's what it's all about. You notice that they have 4 or 5 of those, but only one of these open. And they're trying to push us through this, and she's going on and on. And I tried to redirect a couple times, help her out. And I said, well, you know, it's never the people that are working here's fault. If it was up to them, they would have all of these full and all the workers here, you know. It's those guys, the big wigs up in corporate, and they're saving the bottom line. And I get that too, you know what I mean? You know, you don't have to pay the machines an hourly wage, and, you know, they show up on time. They do what they're supposed to do for the most part, right? And we were talking, and she just could not get off of it. She was so frustrated that there was only one line because her life was disturbed and her peace was shaken because her circumstances were affecting her soul. But the truth is many times we don't look any different than she does. We allow the circumstances of our lives to affect our soul, and our soul begins to drive us. Causes us to go in places in our mind that we should not be going. Causes us to then overtake the will of God in our life and do our own will. But His divine power has been given to us so that we can have it, that
way we can apply it to everything that it pertains to life and godliness. See, Pentecostals, I don't just need the Holy Ghost so I can talk in tongues. Pentecostals, I don't just need the Holy Ghost so I can run around and dance and shout at church on Sundays and Wednesdays. I don't just need the Holy Ghost so that I can feel goosebumps and feel all good when I get in my prayer closet. I need the Holy Ghost for every moment of my life. All things that pertain to life and godliness. All things. Not just when it's convenient for me, when it's inconvenient for me. What if we started living this where we realized we were so dependent upon God that we couldn't do anything unless first looking to Him? What would happen to the church? See, this is what God has spoken to me, and don't take this as being against the United States of America, because I'm not. I love our country. I am so proud of our country. I am proud to be an American, and I am proud of the heritage that we have. But what I have found in my own life is because I have been taught such a strong emotion when it comes to independence, makes me feel something inside, doesn't it? Independence. Yeah. We fought and we won.
Yeah.
Independence. That's great.
Yes, it is.
Until I apply it with God.
Yeah.
And we don't say this to God, but this is what we do to God. Hold on a minute. I got this one. I got this one because I'm independent. I can handle this one. We don't say that to God, but we do it in our actions. Because we get frustrated instead of running to Him and saying, God, I have this emotion of frustration. I have this emotion of anger. I have this emotion of sadness. I have this emotion of excitement and overwhelming joy, and I don't know, or happiness maybe, not joy, happiness, and I don't know how to handle it. I don't know if I should be happy about this or not. Instead of us running to God and making sure that we are where we are supposed to be, as soon as we have an indication from one of our emotions, self jumps right in and self says, I'm going to take care of this. Because I am independent. And every time we do that, church, we step into the trap and now we are caught.
Yeah.
And for us to live a life of true freedom, we must live a life that is wholly, completely dependent upon Jesus Christ. Because by His divine power, He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. If I am not in dependence of God, and I think that I'm independent, then I'm lying to myself, and I am caught in a trap. Now, I'm just going to go here for a minute because I feel the Holy Spirit leading me. I want you to hear me closely. The cycle that we see ourselves go in, and we see people go in, of I'm free from this thing. God has set me free from this thing. But then I get back in it and I'm caught up in it again. And then I see the victory and I'm free from it again. And I go and I get caught back up in it again. And we call it bondage, and people need deliverance, and people think they get deliverance from it. And then 2 weeks from now, a month from now, they're caught up by the same sin again. It's entrapped them and snared them. It's not the fact that they haven't understood that Jesus makes them free. It's the fact that they haven't understood it's also Jesus that keeps them
free.
Yes.
And so we think everything's a one-time moment, a big event. And because I had this event take place in my life, now everything is better, and now I can go back to my way and do my life. But the truth is, for me to live in complete freedom and wholeness is for me to surrender everything to God and say, God, I can't take one breath without you, because you have given me all things that pertain to life and godliness. I don't need you, God, just on Sundays. I don't need you, God, just in a moment of good times. I don't even just need you, God, in a moment of bad times. God, I need you at all times. And I need you to help me regulate my life through the Spirit of God, so that my life will produce the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Those things come out in me. So he says here, through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. And when we begin to live a life that is completely centered by the divine power of God, then we begin to show God's glory and excellence in the world. And verse 4 says this, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. You see, the soul, without being sanctified and empowered by the Holy Spirit, will lead us into corruption and sinful desires every time. Let me just say this. Some of us think because we don't smoke, drink, and cuss, we're okay. But we have massive anger issues. Our tongue is as long as a snake. We talk about anybody, everybody, anything, everything. But I don't drink, smoke, and cuss. I'm okay. No. No. We are partakers of his divine nature. That means that now the nature of God becomes who we are. Yes, it's a process. Don't kick yourself because you didn't do it overnight. But your thinking now has changed, that you realize that's not a good thing. And I'll tell you, as a boy growing up in a Pentecostal church, one thing that I had a hard time understanding is people will talk in tongues one moment and the next moment be the meanest people you ever meet. I didn't understand that. Because I believe it was James said, could sweet water and bitter water come out of the same place? It's time that we begin to live a divine nature. Because God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And the only way we can do that, church, is by being completely dependent upon him. We cannot allow ourselves. Look, I'm preaching to myself just as much as I'm preaching to you this morning. I hope you know that. Because we have grown accustomed to this in the world we live in. We think, oh, it's okay. Oh, it's natural. Oh, it's just what happens. No. I am not going to settle for less. I told you that this morning already. I'm going to push myself to get in deeper with Jesus Christ. Not stronger Joe, no, less of Joe and more of the power of God. That is what I need. And so the Bible says this in closing. Pastor Alicia, if you can come to the piano this morning. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom or liberty. So therefore, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there cannot be bondage. And this is why I say we miss it, because we think the Holy Ghost shows up in a moment, sets us free, and then goes bye-bye. No. Know you not, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. He lives inside of you. You are dependent upon Him. You can do nothing without Him. And if you want to live in liberty or freedom, like we proclaim, we ring the bell, especially this time of year, freedom and liberty, hallelujah, then you must have the Spirit of God. That's the only way you live in freedom. So He says this, and we all with an unveiled face. I don't have time to go in what He's talking about here. He's alluding back to the old covenant. Beholding the glory of God and being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. What am I preaching to you this morning? Well, America, because you are America. If you want to experience true liberty and true freedom, and have independence from bondage, you must live dependent upon Jesus Christ and His Spirit. You must have Him. You cannot go away from Him. Otherwise, we will have bondage. If you'll stand to your feet this morning. There are many things that we're facing in our country. Many things that we're facing in our nation. Many things that the people that we come in contact are facing. But there's hope, church, because Jesus is the answer for every one of them. He is our freedom. He is our peace. He is our joy. He is our strength. And when we live with Him, we overcome all these other things. Don't let your heart be troubled. If you believe that God is real, believe also that Jesus Christ is real. And His Spirit in you is real. And there is no reason to let your soul be overwhelmed when you are dependent upon Jesus Christ. Father God, I thank You right now for Your word. I thank You that it's stirring us right now. Lord, we know that when You do move, we do feel it through our emotions, Lord. And so we're not negating that. We're not ignoring that, God. We know that You move through our emotions. But God, we want it to be more than just emotions. We want it to be more than just feelings. God, we are people who must be led by Your Spirit. That when those emotions come, we run to You, we call upon You, we look to You, Lord, and know how we are supposed to handle them. How are we supposed to respond in each situation, Lord? It's because we are dependent upon You. Father, as the pastor of this church, I stand before You right now, proclaiming that we are a people who are setting our faith to be dependent upon You. Forgive us for our soulless responses, our emotional responses, our responses that are just based on our intellect and our knowledge and what we know. And forgive us of our pride, God, at times where we have thought that we knew better. Change our wills to match Your will, God. Let our will be in alignment with Your will. And forgive us, Lord, for just playing church and playing the Christian game and thinking that we're okay, but really it's our own righteousness, that we're appeasing our flesh to make us think that we're fine. Forgive us, God, and help us to turn completely to You and be dependent upon You and Your Spirit. For every aspect of our life, God, I pray that You would move in us. that you would draw us closer to you to know you more, that you would hold us in your safety, and that we would multiply in grace and peace, Father. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. As she begins to sing, I want to give an opportunity. We believe in what we call an altar call, experience a time to come and respond to God. If you have time to do that this morning, I want to encourage you, come and find a place. You can kneel here at the altar. You can kneel at your seat. If you need prayer, we'll come and join our faith with you and pray with you. But let's respond to what God is speaking to us this morning. Come on.
Just a little bit of faith. You don't need a whole lot. Just use what you got. It's faith, faith, faith. Just a little bit of faith. Faith, faith, faith. Just a little bit of faith. It's faith. Just a little bit of faith.